This is Seeking Delphi, episode number 47, The Future of Technology and the Brain, with Laura Cabrera. I'm Mark Sackler. The future lives here. When we think about the future of technology, we don't necessarily think of it in relationship to the human brain, perhaps with the exception of more extreme outliers like Elon Musk's Neuralink or Ray Kurzweil's Singularity with its aim to upload the mind into a computer. But there's much more going on with mainstream research that uses technology to diagnose and treat neurological and sensory disorders, while the more science fiction-like transhumanist enhancement applications sit much further out. IEEE's Brain Initiative has set out on a course to look at setting standards for brain technology and to look at ethical issues involved therein. Laura Cabrera is a brain researcher working with the IEEE initiative. I spoke to her recently to get her take on the efforts in this area. My guest today on Seeking Delphi is Laura Cabrera. Laura, welcome.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Before we get into the IEEE Brain Initiative and also some of your work on brain research with the brain and technology, just give us a couple of minutes of your background and then what your role with IEEE is.
Sure. So I graduated as an engineer from a university back in Mexico where I'm originally from. So I have that as my background. But then I was really interested in ethical, social implications of the impact of technology. So I decided I wanted to do a master in applied ethics. So that's what I did. I did my master in applied ethics and I focused on issues related to nanotechnology. And then when I did my PhD, I decided to focus more on neuro. And so since I finished my PhD, that has been my focus, basically issues of ethical, societal implications of neurotechnologies and neuroscience. That's my bread and butter of every day in terms of research. And now my role in IEEE Brain Initiative. So I'm a member of the International Neuroethics Society. And so as part of that, we started this informal partnership with IEEE Brain to start discussing and making sure that engineers will have those discussions in terms of ethics and impacts of technology. So that's how we got involved. By we, I mean myself and another colleague from the International Neuroethics Society. So we've been involved in that venue, in that forum, but we have also created now, we are a group of 12 individuals with different backgrounds, engineers, lawyers, ethicists, philosophers, and we are working together to start working on a framework to start guiding the use of neurotechnology or technologies as part of the brain initiative.
Now that we've got that, can you give us a little more detail on some of the areas that the Brain Initiative is working on? And obviously we hear a lot these days about technology being used to map what's going on in the brain, to diagnose it, to treat it both externally and invasively. But what specifically can you talk about in any of those areas that the IEEE initiative might be focusing on right now?
Well, so as I mentioned, as part of the framework that we're working on, we are being comprehensive in the sense that we have created a matrix where we have different type of applications, but also different technologies. Because as part of the Brain Initiative, which is focused on technologies, there's different type of technologies. So you have from recording type of technologies to stimulating technologies to more kind of biological type of technologies, like things like optogenetics or brain organoids. So we really try to include those as part of the framework. So right now we are just starting to really engage with fleshing out those issues. So we are at the very beginning, at least in terms of this particular work group, but it is comprehensive in terms of we want to be able to have some guidance for those working in the variety of technologies involved and that have been produced as part of the BRAIN initiative.
As is often the case with these issues with IEEE, that you're working and looking at some of a lot of the ethical and legal social implications, and one that affects all manners of domains, not just the technology as it relates to the brain, and we see that right now with the COVID-19 situation, and that's technology being deployed to the benefit of all. The digital divide is obviously a problem with COVID-19, and I assume with technologies that might help us with curing neurological diseases, diagnosing them, maybe even enhancing the brain, that could be a problem too. So to what extent are you looking at that, and what are some of yours and IEEE's concerns there?
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, there's different applications that raise a variety of ethical and societal issues. And that's why, in the matrix that we have created and that we're going to be working with, so we have a medical application, which is clearly just, you know, how can we treat the brain? We have, you know, technologies that might be focused for education, technologies that might be focused for the military, the technologies that might be used to enhancement of the brain. So we're really trying to engage with all of these different type of applications and try to see where there is overlap, because there are certainly ethical issues that might be, you know, that might permeate the whole range of applications, but they might be unique issues. So maybe there are ethical issues that come up in the use of technology, of a neurotechnology for education, that might not really be that relevant for a medical application, and vice versa. So, and again, I mean, it's a pity that I don't have a full-fledged framework that I can share today with you, but certainly this is what we are doing. We have working groups that are starting to meet this month. And so I think it's very, very exciting, the outcome of these, getting this, and we have many volunteers. So again, I guess this is an opportunity for me also to say that if people are interested, go and have a look at the BRAIN IEEE website, where you can not only find podcasts and newsletters about, you know, the activities that we do, but also there is a way that you can download the matrix that I've been talking about. And if you want to volunteer and help us to brainstorm and create these guidelines, there's still opportunities.
One of the areas that I see you're interested in here, and that is how some of these technologies might be helpful with dealing with pandemics in the future. And I'm seeing a few different things here, starting with neurotechnologies. Talk a little bit about where that's headed.
Yeah, so I think, and you know, like we talk about technologies and how they can help you know, to the well-being and the health of societies. And we probably have not engaged in a big discussion before this COVID-19 about how we can use them in a more focused way for pandemics. So in this, I guess, exercise at IEEE, we were asked the question about, you know, ways to, how can emerging technologies help to anticipate or lessen the impact of future pandemics? And so I was trying to think of ways in which they can help based on my own research and background. Certainly one of the things that it came across is this topic of convergence. So this is, you know, dates from many, many years ago, where there was like task force that talk about convergent technologies. And certainly it's still important to think, not think of them as isolated. So we cannot just say, oh, it's neurotechnology, or it's nanotechnology, or it's, no. So I think we have to be more, you know, see them as a cloud of technologies that we can use in together. So that's kind of what I was trying to go with some of my answers that I proposed for that article, and trying to say, well, you know, you have neurotechnologies that might need to be used with, you know, like big cloud technologies, with ICT technologies. I from previous background, when I was doing research on nanotechnologies, it occurred to me, you know, like this idea of the nano dusts, like really tiny particles that we can embed in different environments. This might be a key technology for really helping us to detect where we have, you know, like a big viral charge in the environment, and kind of let people know so they can either avoid a certain area or spray something that will, you know, help clean the environment. So there are many ways, and I think we need, you know, groups of people from different backgrounds to have these conversations, because that's where, like, big ideas come from.
Yeah, the smart dust thing sounds pretty fascinating, though I got to assume that's pretty far away as to most of something like ambient computing, which maybe could be sort of a virtual version of that. I don't know if you've looked at ambient computing at all or not.
Yeah, I think they are related topics. And I mean, it kind of sounds like into too much into the future, but on the other hand, these were topics that I was reading, no, 10 years ago. So there's certainly groups that have been thinking about this. And as the technology advances, I think, you know, we have now better technologies in terms of making the miniaturization more possible, the type of sensors that might be needed to detect certain pathogens or just things in the environment. Since that hasn't been my area in the past years, I don't know how much is the real advances, but I don't know that it's that futuristic. I just think we probably have to go and look, you know, what has happened with ambient technologies, with these smart dusts, because I mean, those type of technologies, they're also being used in neurotechnology. So they are talking about using this type of, I think they call nanopixels, but they are pretty much the basic idea is to have many sensors, like tiny sensors in the brain, so that it would be like we call it a high density array, because there's many implants in the brain. And right now the standard is having one or two, you know, electrodes. And so again, the idea has permeated not only the environment, I think it has gone through to medical applications as well.
You talked about convergence, and convergence is something, as a futurist, I'm a generalist, but I also have media background. So media convergence is something I've looked at for a long time. And nothing is more representative of convergence than this little thing that all of us carry around, our just about our smartphones. Steve Jobs may have said there's no more awesome app than a phone call, but the fact of the matter is we've got a camera on it. I'm timing this interview with a stopwatch. We've got personal assistant to talk to. And of course, we've got the sensors in the app. So to what extent can smartphones play into this, both not just in terms of pandemic, but just in terms of other neurological issues as we go forward?
So let me start with the pandemic. So I think we already, cell phones have been used already in terms of how to mitigate the spread of the pandemic. So like in other countries, they've been used for, you know, tracking and letting know people that you've been in contact with, people that might have COVID-19. They've been used to track whether people have kept the lockdown orders, or if they have been, you know, going about their day somewhere else where they should have been staying at home. In terms of the neurological features, again, there are many apps, not all of them work, of course, evidence still out there to be, you know, to have better evidence whether they work or not, but there are many apps that are being developed and that are being used to track mental health, and to try to, you know, maybe to know when would be beneficial to have a clinician, a psychiatrist intervening, where they should maybe call an emergency, you know, 911 because someone is suicidal. So I think they are being used as tools that beyond the pandemic, you know, they permeate our everyday life in so many ways. And again, if we go back a little bit at the sensors, I think smartphones nowadays, there are many ways in which we can adapt extra sensors from the ones that our usual smartphone comes with. So there are versions of, you could adapt to be an EEG, you can adapt it to be like something to measure your heart rate. So there's many ways in which we might be able to plug in things into our phones that might enable us to, again, have things like, you know, read out environmental toxins and pathogens. So just, yeah, but that's a great example in terms of, you know, how one technology has really become like huge for every, or pretty much every sector.
maybe I'm zigzagging a little bit depending on the issues that you bring up, but a really significant issue that comes out of the talk of the smartphone alerting the psychiatrist or whatever. And I know this is really heavy in the ethics, and it's going to be an issue with ambient computing. It could be an issue with the smart dust if we can use that for neurological or pandemic issues. And that, of course, is privacy. And I'm just wondering, clearly it's enough of a problem to have privacy when in regards to our connected devices, but when those devices start connecting into our nervous systems and our brain, I don't necessarily want the powers that be to read our minds. So I got to assume that I'd be very surprised if IEEE isn't looking into that sort of issue. So tell me, if they are, what are they looking at?
So again, I don't have that much to report on that, unfortunately, because there might be groups that I'm just not aware. I mean, IEEE brain is a huge gathering of, you know, like-minded people. So in my subgroup, we haven't gotten yet to discuss those issues, but they are certainly on part of the matrix and the framework that we're going to be working on. So yeah, unfortunately, I don't know to what extent IEEE has already engaged in those discussions. But I can tell you and assure you that as part of the work group that is working on the framework, we will be discussing them and making sure that we have guidance in our framework for engineers to think and discuss and address these issues.
Yes, if I recall correctly, privacy was addressed in the report on ethics in autonomous systems. So you would think that would play in here as well. And a lot of these will be autonomous systems. At any rate, I want to get back to the smart dust versus the two electrodes. And I'm kind of moving more into what you might know and have studied as a researcher and getting more into the whole issue of BCI, which is brain-computer interface. And of course, the first thing I think of when you talk about a more comprehensive approach than just a couple of electrodes into the brain, and that's something like what Elon Musk is doing with Neuralink. I mean, how far are we away from something like that? Is even realistic that it could be done anytime soon? And what is your whole, you know, view of efforts like that?
Yeah, it does. It's interesting because just recently, I think a few days ago, he was interviewed and he said that, you know, in a few years, human language is going to be obsolete as a result of his neurotechnology. And I mean, we know that he tends to, you know, come up with this type of claims. And the scientific community is kind of divided. I wrote a post about the Neuralink and some of the things that also Facebook is doing with neurotechnologies. And it's just, the scientists are not involved with those groups. They do see the type of things that they're claiming to do as far-fetched or things that were still not there for many, many years to come. I guess the scientists that work with those groups, they tend to be more optimistic in terms of like, yeah, maybe next year we'll have a prototype that, you know, for humans. I'm more into the, I tend to be more critical of whether we'll get there in a year or so. I mean, I don't see it as impossible because certainly science fiction has become science fact after a few years. So I think that's possible. I just don't see it in the very, very short term, especially not in the type of claims that they tend to put forward. But if we move from like, you know, when this might be possible to the, what are the issues that are raised, I think in addition to the privacy issues that we've been discussing or that you raised in your previous question, it's important to think that in many cases when you have, let's say, a patient, a quadriplegic patient that needs a brain-computer interface in order to be able to communicate with the world, in order to be somehow functional again. So then there's a trade-off between, you know, the benefits that person is getting versus the risks of having such an implant. But the way some of these companies tend to talk about these devices is like, well, you know, at the beginning we'll use it just for treatment, but then certainly, you know, people will be able to use these and, you know, to learn languages quickly, like other languages or to learn. Some people see it as a kind of like the matrix scenario where they just plug your new ability that you want to learn and you'll be able to do that. And so I think that's a little bit dangerous to think that the brain can be reduced like that, that we can the type of activities that we know and do and understand, and that it, I don't think it's going to be that easy. And I mean, if we see already the type of things, for example, with patients that have, they have the vocal cords removed and they need technologies that help them to be able to create speech. I mean, we still, I mean, it's getting much, much better than what it was when I was an engineer. We're trying to create systems like that, but we still not 100% there. There are still issues that need to be thought of in terms of the efficiency. And if you have a company, not even, well, not a medical company, you have a company that is claiming to do this for consumers. And I think that it raises issues that we should be careful about. You know, do we really want these companies to sell our more inner thoughts to who know whom? And I think these companies have not been good in showing us consumers that they really protect our data. So I'll be skeptical to all those issues because of the past things that I've seen.
Well, that's interesting. As some of your closing remarks on that answer are kind of conjuring up season 3 of Westworld, because the whole season is basically a fight over the data of everything that's been collected of what's going on in people's minds sometime in the next 30, 50 years. I don't know. But at any rate, I do want to, though, maybe put you on the spot a little bit. Clearly, things are starting to happen. You're starting to see in the last several weeks, I saw a couple of things, restoring sight to blind individuals by transmitting images directly to the visual nerves in the brain, by restoring an implant that restored limited movement to someone who was paralyzed. And that's really great stuff. It really helps people. But again, somewhere, where's the line where it crosses over to transhumanism? And there's a lot of strong support for transhumanism out there. And I'd say at times I lean toward it, because you got to wonder with all this technology, if we don't become a little bit more than human in a lot of respects, a lot of our human flaws are going to destroy us with the technology. So I mean, is IEEE or you personally looking at the big picture in terms of the long term, because the extreme transhumanist stuff may be out there toward Kurzweil's singularity? It may be 20, 30, 40 years away, not just a year or two, but you know, where are you on that? And is IEEE looking at questions like that long-term?
I'm unfortunately not familiar with IEEE engaging in this type of more kind of transhumanist type of approaches. I, in the past, have looked at the transhumanist type of claims. Some of my colleagues, ethicists, they either tend to be no at all or very pro, saying that that's exactly what we need. I tend to be more in the more, again, more like in a critical stance, and more trying to think of, sure, once we have as a society addressed the key needs of maybe a larger percentage of our fellow human beings on Earth, then sure, let's use technologies for things that are not necessarily, you know, medical or that cover our basic needs. But I think we're so far from just having more people at the same level that I, at least for me, this is my personal view, I think technologies first should be focused on enabling a better world for most people, not enabling a great world for just a very few.
Well, I can't say that I disagree with you, so I'm sort of in the middle on it as well, but I've also been one of those people that advocate that we're, those of us with smartphones in a way are already cyborgs, because these have become almost extensions of our person. They're more than just a tool. They're really, it's like you live with it. It becomes like a third arm or something, or it's an extension of your body and of your brain. At any rate, though, I would love to revisit this when IEEE gets further along with this, because I'd be curious to see particularly what issues they're going to focus on in terms of the ethics. And obviously the technology is always advancing rapidly, and I'm sure we're going to see a lot more, maybe even in months, let alone years, in terms of the technology advancing. So I thank you, and good luck with your work with IEEE, and stay safe in these dangerous times.
Thank you. And I certainly hope to be able to share more about our work in IEEE Brain once we have a more fleshed out framework.
There is no mistaking the fact that technologies that modify the brain, whether with direct electrical or electronic interfaces, or with new genetic editing tools like CRISPR, have the ability to enhance us as well as to heal us. With some 200 countries, all with different regulatory rules, maintaining a measured ethical approach will not be easy. More on this subject when I speak with Future Minds author Richard Yonk in an episode coming soon. Your likes, follows, and recommendations to friends are always welcome, as well as suggestions for future topics. Subscriptions are available on Apple Podcasts, Player FM, and YouTube, and we are also on Facebook and Twitter. My technical assistant is Mohammed Marouf. Until next time, I'm Mark Sackler.